Our economy has not been destroyed. We're still one of the biggest economies in the world.
What is the economy here? What's it based on?
What do you mean?
Like what's the British economy? I look at the economy of, I don't know, Wales in 1900, and it's like, it's coal. They mines, they dig coal, people burn it. That's what their economy is. Look at the economy of Sheffield or Birmingham 100 years ago. Well, of course, it was steelmaking. What's the economy?
There's still a lot of manufacturing in the UK.
But as a percentage, your economy...
Well, percentage of manufacturing could be a lot less.
A lot less? It's almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Right, so...
But we still have one of the biggest economies in the world. Now...
But what is that economy based on?
A lot of things.
Okay, what's the main one?
Well, of the city. There's a lot of manufacturing.
That's the main one?
Well, there's a lot of technology stuff going on. There's a lot of scientific stuff going on. There's a lot of all sorts of industries.
You haven't mentioned the biggest one by far.
Well, go on.
It's lending money to people. It's banking.
Banking, yeah. Okay.
We're in the City of London right now.
Sure.
How many things are being made in the City of London other than debt?
It's one of the financial hubs of the world. We're right in the city here.
We're sitting in the City of London right now, run by City Con.
Right. But again, it's not as bad as people think it is.
But hold on. Is that really an economy? If your economy is real estate, that's London's other big economic center, is buying and selling and leasing pieces of property again and again to different people. Nothing's being created.
But that's not true. That's not true. We are creating things here. A lot of things.
Like what?
There's a lot of money.
Baratta. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of money because people from around the world stash their money here because it's a system based on fairness.
There's a lot of manufacturing. Not as much as there was 80 years ago.
How much is in London, man, your biggest city, the dominant city?
I don't know the percentages. So we'd have to check.
Pretty much, unless you're talking about like burritos being manufactured or whatever, I don't think there's really any.
The bigger problem for us is not what economy we're doing. It's how we manage the economy.
So it doesn't matter where the money comes from?
No, it does. But successive governments have dragged us to a place where we have almost zero growth. Without growth, you can't have a successful, thriving country.
That's not true. Have you been to Japan? It's like the most successful, thriving country in the world. It has had no growth for a long time. Not real growth. And we've gotten these lectures from the bankers for like 30 years. Japan is dying. You ever go to Japan? There are 4-year-old girls in the subway alone. There's not one speck of litter in all of Tokyo, and it's one of the biggest cities in the world, 12 million. It's an incredible society. It's the opposite of New York, London, Baltimore, Detroit. It's incredible. I know you've been there, and I know you've had these naughty, forbidden thoughts like, wait a second, I thought we dropped a bomb on them. How are they so great?
No. I like going to Tokyo.
No growth. How'd they do that with no growth? No. I was assured by libertarian economics, if we had no growth, things would be bad. Look at this.
I like going to Japan, but I wouldn't swap it for London.
Right. Fair. You're English. That's kind of the point. Right. This is your homeland.
I genuinely do love London.
No, I bet you do.
When I lived in America full time, I really missed a lot of the
I hope so. This is where your ancestors are from. I get it. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's the whole argument I'm making. It matters where you're from. The culture really matters. It's not about growth. It's not about any of this crap. It's about, am I on the same page with my neighbor? Do we have something in common? Do we have the same gut instincts about things? Those are the most important questions there are.
But economic prosperity raises all the ships.
Has that been true here?
It should be true.
Is there more poverty in London now than there was 40 years ago?
There's more child poverty.
Yes, I know.
In fact, the child poverty rate is worse here than it is in America.
A lot worse.
The general poverty rate.
So how is this so great, even though they have Baratta?
The general poverty rate is actually lower than it is in America, but child poverty specifically is still worse.
Is there anything that matters other than child poverty?
Probably not.
Not really.
I agree.
Look, I'm not slagging on. I love your country. I really thought a lot about this since I was so mean during that conversation. I was just wounded because I feel like the destruction of Britain has effects on our entire Anglo civilization.
Did you actually look out and see a destroyed country?
No, this is beautiful. I mean, this is, this is the rich part of town.
I could take you to Manchester, Birmingham, Glasgow, Cardiff.
How are they doing?
They're all doing great. Much better than you think. Honestly, Tucker, you'll walk
around
and see.
That is crazy. What Tucker Carlson needs to do is get Piers Morgan in a costume, put him in a disguise, and go walk around the streets of Britain. Piers Morgan is ferried from one place to the next with a personal driver and a private jet. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. Here's what's actually happening in the UK. You ready for this one? You're not. I'm telling you right now, you're not. I've just tried to go to M&S on Chaplin High Street. It's flanked by police who inform me all the shops on High Street are closed as they are being looted by teenagers. Lawful citizens can't shop. Private businesses closed. Youth still wrecking havoc. I'm sorry, man. You can't go down that road. The youth are looting. The youth are looting right now. So we police are guarding them while they do.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iron. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria in the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAuctionStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAuctionStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of the War Room, and I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. I do want to get new callers. I love our regular callers, but I want to hear from some unknown voices. So if you've ever called in and gotten on the show, withhold your call for a second. Maybe in the next segment, we can open up phone calls for everybody. But if you've never called in, or if you've never gotten on the air, if you've called in and been on hold, now is the time to call in. Give us a call. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. And let me just tell you right now, we do not screen calls. The call screener will answer your call, ask for your name, where you're from, and what you want to talk about. Just tell them the truth. And if you say Harrison's an idiot and he's wrong and I want to tell him how wrong he is, I'll probably go to you first. So the thing that annoys us is when people call in saying they want to talk about one thing and then they actually want to talk about another. Just tell us what you want to talk about and we'll put you on the air. Okay, because I'm very confident in everything I believe. I'm not afraid of being challenged. It's actually one of the brilliant things about doing a live radio show and having people call in. Sort of keeps me on my toes. I really can't try to get away with anything and not expect somebody to call me out on it. So that's why I got to be upfront about literally everything all the time. So we'll go to those calls just as soon as they come in. I do have some good news here. I do have some good news that we should all be celebrating. This is something actually people have been working on for a long time, and it's a very good, you know, I love these sort of simple solutions that solve really big problems. In this case, it may not solve the problems, but it's definitely going to help quite a bit. And it's basic transparency. It's transparency in the medical field. And it's a new initiative by RFK Jr., clip number 11 here. This is great. This, in and of itself, will do a lot to clamp down on the exploitation of the medical industry and the insurance industry, because basically they're making hospitals be transparent about what they charge for what. Let's watch.
This week, we passed new regulations that require hospitals to post their pricing. So we're going to have price transparency and the insurance companies. And so we're going to have price transparency. If you go to a restaurant, you can see what the price is before you order a meal. If you go to a car dealer and he tells you, you can buy this car, but I'm not going to tell you what the price is until after you bought it, you would not buy that car. But that's how every hospital in this country works.
But it's actually, it's worse than that, right? Because it's collusion between the hospitals and the insurance company. And basically, they can charge whatever they want. And it kind of doesn't matter because the people aren't the ones receiving the bill, right? If you charge me $12 for an aspirin, I might get pissed off and be like, what the hell? And demand an answer for it. But if it's just sort of a obscure entry in a insurance settlement, then they can just charge whatever they want. And there's been examples of this where, you know, a bill for $25,000 comes in and the person calls the hospital and goes, can you actually jot out like what I'm being charged for? I need like an invoice with all of this stuff detailed. And suddenly the bill comes back. It turns out it's only $10,000. Like they literally will charge way over and above what they normally do because they can and because the insurance companies work with them and to get it done. So hopefully they won't be able to do this anymore. They'll have to actually tell you what they charge for things and not have it all be obscure and exploitative. He says, beginning today, April 1st, HHS will require hospitals executives to attest that they posted that their posted prices are accurate. If hospitals mislead patients or fail to disclose actual prices, we will hold them accountable. Transparency drives competition, and competition lowers healthcare costs for every American. Transparency is kind of never a bad thing, really, at the end of the day. Turns out like a lot of problems in our country and our world can be solved by just demanding that people tell the truth and then holding their feet to the fire, holding a, you know, putting them in the sunlight and revealing whether they're being honest. All right, let's go. I came in, the screen's a little small, so I don't even know what you want to talk about. Let's go to clip number, or line number one here. I think his name's Joey. Do I see Joey in Mississippi? Do I have that right?
Yes, I'm Joey, but I'm a girl in Mississippi.
Hello, Joey. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. I wanted to talk about how they keep trying to raise taxes for schools and for child care and for health care, just everything, everything. And I feel like what they need to do is actually let one parent stay home and just, it erases tax burden for children, for schools, for child care, even for medical stuff. Because if you're home with your kid, they're not next to another kid. It's going to give them the flu because their parents don't take care of them and send them off sick. So I just feel like maybe just trying to go back to one parent working and lower the tax burdens on all these people and just make our economy back to where we can afford that. Because I just, it's just so expensive. You can't even afford insurance, even off of like just one income, just paying for health care and insurance. Like one income isn't going to do that and have the other income pay for everything else.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not happening anymore.
No, and it's been designed like that on purpose. They, you know, two incomes means two times the tax burden. Mom has to work, so you got to put the kid in a daycare, so you got to pay the daycare that they can tax it then. I mean, every time, you know, you make an exchange, they get a little bit more. And of course, right now, at best possible scenario for a, you know, middle income American is you work a third of the year for somebody else. Now, if you were, you know, forced to go work in a field for 3 months in a row and not be paid for it, you would be infuriated. You wouldn't stand for it. But because they just take a little off the top every day, you know, won't revolt. But yeah, that's the lowest possible, like purely just what portion of your income is taxed. It's like 33%. When you actually look into how taxes make everything more expensive and how every step of the, you know, production process, it's taxed more and more. We're really spending like half of our waking lives working directly for other people, working for the government to steal our money and give it to people who hate us and don't provide anything. So I think you're exactly right. One good thing I've seen is Fishback, James Fishback, running for governor of Florida. Just yesterday I saw he came out with a proposal saying that if you homeschool your kids, you should be paid what your kid would be, you know, paid for in the school, you know, whatever amount of money that your kid would cause the school, they would just pay you. So if you stay at home and teach your kid, they would send you a $13,000 check, I think is the amount that he said yesterday. So that would be huge and makes total sense, because it is unfair that, you know, if you don't want to be indoctrinated in the public school system, it's this major burden. You have to have a spouse that doesn't work, and you have to put in all this time and effort to, you know, do something that is available for free for everybody else. And it's unfair. I love this suggestion from Fishback. If you as a parent decide to pull your child out of public school, I don't believe you should be capped at $9,000 a year. You should get the full amount. It should be $16,000 or $17,000. And of course, you know, you should have to actually prove that you're actually teaching your kid. We don't want a bunch of people just taking advantage of this, like they'll take advantage of everything. But I like that idea. We got to do something to get back to a more sensical, you know, family structure. What do you think about that suggestion, Joey?
I like it. I have to use Christian Health Ministries because we were spending $1,200 a month on insurance for just me and my daughter. My husband had his through work. And that's with I think it was like $6,000 deductible too on each one of us.
Oh my gosh.
So I was a lunch lady and I only brought home, I think it was like $600 a month because that job actually made it to where I didn't have to pay for childcare and I could have insurance through them. So I ended up quitting that job and going with Christian Health Ministries. And now I pay cash price, which is a lot cheaper than insurance if anybody is even considering that, because I would used to have to pay a $40 copay to go to the doctor with insurance, and now I pay $60 and then a $20 for a strep test. So it's $80 rather than $1,200 a month for her once a month sickness.
Well, that's great. And this is an opportunity for, you know, sort of private club types of operations like that to fill the gap where the insurance companies and the hospitals are not doing it. So yeah, that's a great resource. But yeah, it's, you know, like the lady we just played where she's, I mean, who can defend that situation where you've got a woman who makes $60,000 a year, therefore doesn't, you know, qualify for any help, like can't really afford good insurance, can't afford medical care. I mean, it's brutal. And it just represents a totally dysfunctional system. And we showed the chart yesterday of the rise of, you know, administrators rather than the rise of physicians. We are dealing with like layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of dysfunction where we kind of have to like scrap the whole thing and try to start over. And at the very least, scrap Obamacare, because everything's gotten significantly more expensive as a consequence of that, just like we said it would. When it happened. Thank you so much for the call, Joey. And yeah, I mean, it is not a great situation anybody here in America is in. And this is just the added pain of what Trump is doing, is that none of this stuff is being solved while we focus on overseas adventures. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Righteous Rod in Arizona. Go ahead, Righteous. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Good evening. Hear you loud and clear. Thanks for calling in.
Righteous. I want to give a plug on the methylene blue. I was a little hesitant to try it. I heard some good things from my brother, so I placed an order not very long ago. The shipment came in real quick. Like, the site is awesome. Thank you guys for doing that. It looks great. It's clean. Just for the longest time, I was having trouble, like, getting out of the mental space a little bit, really foggy, hard to learn things. Like, I, for example, I train combat sports. When the coach goes over stuff, it's real quick. All right, you understand? Okay, let's go. Boom, boom. And, like, immediately just forget it, right? I start taking this methylene blue. I have no problem remembering the combinations. I'm, like, helping people and all that. And I just feel really great mentally. I think the methylene blue is great. Everybody should have it, and it's really beneficial. It really, really has great effect.
Wow, thank you. I'm so glad it's helped you out so much. I mean, I say it all the time, whether it's methylene blue or the iodine, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you. I mean, did you get it because you thought, hey, I have brain fog, maybe this will help, or what were you expecting it to do, and did it do what you expected?
Absolutely. So for the longest time, it's just like getting up in the morning, just even getting up and going, or like you're saying with the brain fog, is just, I could be talking to somebody and my mind just goes like elsewhere. I forget the conversation. But with this methylene blue, like, I actually, you know, feel like I'm being a little bit more endearing towards people. I don't know. Maybe it's just the neurons firing at a higher rate. Maybe it's helping clean out the nuclei is working overtime, but like has a boost with this stuff, but it works. So on the bottle, it says like 20 drops. I've just been doing like 10 or 11 drops because, I mean, I don't want to turn into Alex Jones, go in my backyard and let out a war cry, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to be shooting lightning at people when you don't expect it. Yeah, you got to take it easy on this stuff. Look, methylene blue is one of these products where, like, you do have to make sure you're not taking other medicine because it's extremely powerful. And it can have some you know, if you take SSRIs or I think amphetamines like Adderall, like, it can interact with those. Because they, I don't know if they do similar things, but it's powerful. Like, it's not something that you really, you know, need to take twice as much as you're told. Like, maybe take half as much as has on the bottle. Start with that because it really is powerful. We don't sell you bunk, man. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for the plug. Always appreciate that, but probably not what you really called in about, right? What else you got for us?
Yes, sir. So I would like to just address the travesty that is the resignation of Joe Kent, okay? Oh. So, I mean, I agree with you guys. And by the way, I just want to say, long-time listener, first time caller. I loved, I started every morning with the one that is Mr. Harrison Smith for many years. And I just, you know, I got you guys in my ear all day, and it's awesome. I really appreciate you guys spreading the truth. Actually, I also did sign up for the Alex Jones VIP, so it's a little bit of contribution to you guys every month. But it's also super dope that there's like a store credit that's issued. So it's just like, hey, let's just buy more stuff. Let's get the word out there, you know. So there's
Now, wait, hold on, Regisrod. Did we tell you to say that? See, I got people out there spreading rumors that we screen calls and that our callers aren't real. And here you are giving us a plug like a dang professional. You are a real customer, right? And you just called in and we don't know each other. I just want you to confirm that on the record.
110%. And I guess I'll plug one more time with that methylene blue. You brought the water boy into fruition, right? When he's talking and he's like, well, mama says happiness comes out of rays of sunshine when you pee in the blue. Well, thanks, methylene blue and the alexjonesstore.com. I really am peeing the blue.
That's great. I love it. It's just, that was a great plug. And I know people are like, they pay. It's like, no, people just actually love they're just actually really good products. But you don't need to set up. I thank you so much for your support. Like, we honestly can't do it without you. And we know what it's like, and we know it's not easy. You know, not everybody has extra money to spend on things like them, like InfoWars, which is why we want to give you a great product. It's, you know, we respect the sacrifice it takes to support us, and we want to return the favor and make it not a sacrifice. We want to make it something that actually benefits you, which is why we sell great products. But so what are your thoughts on Joe Kinn? You think it's a bad thing that he resigned?
Well, I just think it's a travesty that our commander in chief just, you know, went up and did a 180. I've been trying to game plan this with people in conversations. Like, what happened? Was he a dark horse? Was he like a Trojan horse? Or did they gotta have Netanyahu has gotta have something either on him, which I don't think so, but it's more likely like maybe Jared Kushner, you know, something having to do with the Israel Accords. I don't know. But with a man of this stature in terms of Joe Kent and his accolades, his achievements, his intellect, our commander-in-chief doesn't want to, you know, take any type of information from him. I mean, that's a travesty, and all I got to say is I think the man's name is Jim Clark and Joe Kent. If we got them on the same ticket, it's like Clark Kent, man. That's been on my mind for weeks. Like, Superman, it's definitely what this country needs. Like, let's get that guy in. Let's just, from the top down, all SF dudes, let's go. Because you know what? They're the ones that, you know, they're train the armies in the other countries. They'll just go get a group of regular people like us, never met before, and in 6 months they're killing machines. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But not from like a war aspect. I'm just saying they know how to get things done, get this country back on the right track. So I say Joe Kent for president, man.
Amen. Absolutely. And the dude looks like Superman, like straight up. He looks like 100%. Clark Kent. It's wild.
And for the record, so everyone listening, sorry to cut you off, sir, but for everyone, Alex Jones does the people on time. Anyways, you guys did not pay me. I am just a true believer. I am very, very grateful that you guys do what you do. You put out this information. It's like I have no choice but to support you guys. That's just how I feel. I appreciate what you do. I know it's taken a lot of time. I'm very honored. Maybe we'll call again soon, but I at least wanted to do it once before.
Before we go down.
Down and everything, yes, sir.
Well, thank you for doing it. No, this was a great call, man. I do hope you call in more. This was excellent. And of course, I got to give you extra time if you plug, but that's it. But not everybody can use that trick, all right? I want to get to more calls. I got a lot of callers holding, so we'll try to go a little quicker from now on. But no, you're exactly right. And I was amazed at the quality of response from the veterans after Joe Kent resigned. There were a couple guys. Maybe it's Clark who you're talking about. I retweeted a guy because he's just like, I'm just like I'm a special forces guy. I'm not like a good talker. And then he just goes off at like 10 minutes, just like the most hardcore, amazing, you know, diatribe. And it's just like, dude, this guy should be in charge. Like, why are these guys not in charge? I know that just being able to kill people doesn't automatically mean you're the best leader of men, but it's like there's something there. There's something there. They're men that can handle themselves, that aren't fearful, that, you know the risk that they're putting soldiers in when they go to war. Like, they really understand the world in a way that some of these number crunchers just don't. And it kind of reminds me of I bring it up all the time, but the Starship Troopers fantasy sort of fascistic world that they created, the whole thing was that you had to be a veteran to vote, and the entire government was only veterans, and you had to like suffer as a veteran to even get any authority, because there's something to that. Rome was like that as well with the cursus honorum. So yeah, man, these veterans, especially the special forces guys, they're smart. They're the real deal. And people like Joe Kent deserve all the respect in the world. Thank you so much for that call, Righteous Rod. Let's go to Andrew in Maryland now. Andrew, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
How are you doing, Harrison?
I'm doing well, thank you. I can I get a little feedback there if we can turn down the radio or just get the phone right to your ear, please.
Can you hear me better?
Sounds great. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I just want to talk about the Pam Bondi stuff. I think she finally got what she deserved. Man, she promised so much stuff about releasing the Epstein files, and she just kept letting stuff build up. Like, I'm just happy about that. Yeah,
it's been a disappointment. But the thing is, what we know behind the scenes is a lot of that was Todd Blanch, but Todd Blanch is replacing her. So monkey's paw, right?
So he's not really any better. It's actually probably worse, isn't it?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, too, I heard the last caller. I just wanted to let you know, too, like I am a real customer, too.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. What do you like from the store?
I buy it. I like the methylene blue. I like the colostrum. The methylene blue, I take like 10 drops one day, 15 the next day. Then sometimes I don't take it for a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to build up my tolerance to it. So it seems like it works better when you don't like overdo it. Like,
interesting.
For me, at least.
That's good advice.
Some people like to take, like, I know some people take 30, 40 drops. Like, I only need like 10, usually gets me through the day.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for your support, Andrew. Of course, we couldn't do it without you, and we sincerely mean it. Thank you for supporting us in every way that you do. Even if that's just sharing the links or telling your friends about it, man, it's all very important. Final thoughts before we go to commercial break here, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm just hoping that you guys keep having success and for worse. And I spread information around. I try to keep your guys' name like around people in my family. A lot of people in my family really don't believe in the stuff I believe in, but I go my own way.
Well, you know, good for you, and you know, you got to keep trying to make those arguments and get through to people. And it's funny to me. It's like, you know, people don't believe what I believe. It's like, I just believe the truth. So I don't know what you believe, because I just believe what's actually happening. Everybody else seems to believe in fantasy world nonsense. I don't even know where they're getting their information, but it ain't right. And we can prove that, you know, like I got a video of Dianne Feinstein from like 1993, and she's asked about birthright citizenship, and they're like, should an illegal alien, you know, kid be a citizen? She's like, no, of course not. That's ridiculous. And it's stuff like that to where it's like, you can get all kind of confused and muddled up in the modern world, and everybody's got a different opinion on things and a different context, this and this, but it's like, no. We're just right. Like, this is just all very normal. It's not really a debate. Everybody used to understand that this was the case. And it's not that we're Democrats now. It's that the Democrats have gone insane. And things that were very normal for all of human history in the last 20 years have become verboten. And, like, they're just insane. So, like, we're the normal ones and we're right.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. I've given this to 500 people. Only 3 people didn't feel it right away. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
Personally, I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. I was telling you, I've had a little bit of a cold for the past few days, under-rested. It felt like my brain was working at 50% capacity, just felt slow. And now, what's it been, a half hour or so? It feels like I'm back up to 80%. So yeah, that's my experience. Feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them.
You and be honest, I know you will be, because we're always trying to find a better methylene blue. If you've got one that's better, you said you've taken it before. Did you feel the same thing with the other methylene blue?
No, with other ones I've tried, I didn't have a perceptible difference. Yeah, didn't notice anything.
Well, I got to tell you, I like it. Bigly, I said, go find me the best. They said, this place doesn't sell it to people. They sell it for medical dyes for arteries instead of like iodine, radioactive iodine. They use this for tracking blood clots or something. And I said, okay, great. So you got to deal with them? I said, well, let me get it. And I'd taken a bunch of different brands before. It didn't really do much. I was like, brrr, when I did it. And I was like, so they hit a home run with this. So you're saying you've taken, we didn't talk about this beforehand. We just asked you. You've taken others before, though, did not feel like this.
Yeah, that's true. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it.
And yeah, my understanding, you mentioned this, methylene blues, they're not all created equal. Some, I believe, are like a fish aquarium grade,
yeah.
But they sell it to humans. So what you found, I'm stoked to really...
Look, I love Bigly. Their rule is go out and get the best. Most of our products are private label. It's already top rated. So I said, get the best methylene blue. So I think we got the best. JP Sears didn't even know this backstory that you all know. You just saw what just happened to him. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room for this Thursday broadcast. We'll go directly after your calls once again. I do want to wow. The average new hire was 42 years old in 2025. Yeah, everything is broken and sucks. From Time Magazine, just published this afternoon, Inside Trump's Search for a Way Out of the Iran War. They say when Donald Trump was in the Oval Office during the third week of the Iran War, when a group of his most trusted advisors came in to deliver some unwelcome news. His longtime pollster, Tony Fabrizio, had conducted surveys that indicated the war Trump launched was growing increasingly unpopular. Gas prices had surged past $4 per gallon, stock markets had tumbled to multi-year lows, and millions of Americans were preparing to take to the streets in protest. 13 American service members had been confirmed killed. Some of Trump's key public supporters were criticizing a conflict with no clear end in sight. It fell on White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles and a small group of aides to tell the president that the longer the war dragged on, the more it would threaten public support and Republicans' prospects in November's midterm elections. For Trump, it says, the stark warning was unsettling. The president has begun many recent mornings watching video clips compiled by military officers of battlefield successes, according to senior administration officials. He also told advisors that being commander-in-chief, to eliminate the nuclear threat posed by Iran could be one of his signature achievements. But Wiles, according to two White House sources, was concerned aides were giving the president a rose-colored view of how the war was being perceived domestically, telling Trump what he wanted to hear instead of what he needed to hear. She urged colleagues, the officials say, to be more forthright with the boss about the political and economic risks. Okay, so just once again, our, you know, supposition, our observation is confirmed by inside sources, as if you needed people to tell you this, which again, people think we're stupid for being like, yeah, Trump is being tricked. He's being kept encased in a false reality. We had it from Joe Kent. We had it from people, you know, behind the scenes. People still want to, you know, act like it's not true. It's true, you guys. I mean, just you can not listen to us if you want, but like, we're always right. So you just listen to us. That's my argument. Okay, out to your phone calls. We'll get to as many as we can. Josh from South Dakota. Go ahead, Josh. You are on the airline 9. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. I've been hard on you in the last few months. I'm tired of the black pilling, and I know it's necessary to hold our leaders accountable. I was always a Ted Cruz guy, shamelessly before, but I got behind Trump, and I got behind him 3 times. I was a co-chair of the Republican committee in Lacapel County, Minnesota. I'm now a refugee of Minnesota, leaving the state, which is a lost cause, or South Dakota. And I've talked to legislators in the state and in Minnesota. I've been here my entire life, 48 years, and this is the last one. But what I'm concerned with is coming up this fall and too much blackpilling. Yes, we got to hold them accountable, but let's get some solutions. You know, I have so many friends that are boycotting 2026 election. They're like, screw it. What's the point? It doesn't get us anywhere. So they just want to stay home. And I try to convince them that that's the last thing we need to do. But when we have so many on the conservative side denigrating everything that's going on in the White House, I just want to say, look, what do we need to do? We need to join the No Kings movement. We need to impeach Trump. What is your solution to moving forward? Because right now, I don't know if you look into Project or Plan or Agenda 2028, whatever version it's called, but they're talking left-wing extremist revolution in May of 2028. And that's where this is headed. I've been talking about civil war, at least national divorce, for a couple of years, and I don't see any slowing down of that train. I'm just wondering what your solution is, what we do next to keep this nation in place. Or, fine, national divorce, let's carve it up and redo it, because I've seen a lot of stuff about what Trump's doing. That's where we're headed anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. You know, there's a difference between blackpilling and delivering bad news, right? The news is bad these days because the Iran war is bad news, right? It's bad things are happening. So, you know, it's not blackpilling to just recognize that and to deal with it. The thing we have to try to do is recognize how bad things are, not let it blackpill us, right? Blackpilling to me is when you give up, is when you like actually give in to the, you know, depression that can come about when you think about how bad things are right now. The thing is, in the background of this is always the fact that we have pushed this conversation beyond anywhere I ever thought it would be. And I was talking about a little bit yesterday about prepping and how, like, it used to be under Obama, you know, everybody's solution was just like pack a bag, get storable food, and move to the woods. Like, that was the best possible case scenario. Trump coming out and being anti-globalist and being nationalistic and changing the conversation, I mean, that really has reinvigorated a lot of hope. It's that very hope that we're now losing because of the way that we've been betrayed on the Iran war. There's not an easy solution. The left is absolutely gearing up to be insanely tyrannical when they get back in. Almost every day I have a story or a clip of a Democrat who's promising this. They're saying, once we're back in, it's Trump's family, it's Trump's supporters, we're coming after all of them, we're going to just open the border. I mean, they really are gearing up for, you know, total collapse. I don't have an answer necessarily. We did everything we were supposed to do. We got the right people in, and then we've been betrayed and screwed over at every pass. It sucks, but that's where we are. And it's not helpful or beneficial to pretend this isn't where we are, but it's also not helpful to blackpill and think, okay, it's over. There's nothing we can do. Everything's crazy, man. Nobody knows anything, how anything's going to turn out. How many times before did we say how much better it was that Trump actually wasn't president in 2020? Now, that was on the assumption that his 2024 administration would be so much crazier and better. And it's been a little bit, but it's that type of thing where it's like, you know, you see them steal the election. You think like, this is awful. What the hell? Our country's been stolen from us. But then 4 years later, you're like, well, we would have had Mike Pence as vice president. It would have been, the impeachments would have kept going. Like, maybe it was actually a good thing that we lost back then. You never know how things are going to turn out. So you don't ever black pill. I get very frustrated and sort of dismayed at how not very intelligent a lot of people are and how, you know, just ridiculous lies seem to spread like wildfire. It's all very frustrating. I'm never black pilled. And this might be because I've been in this space for a long time, but everybody's got to go through it. You got to dig yourself out. You got to just remember, like, and this is where the spirituality aspect of it all comes in, where you just go, as long as I'm doing my best, trying my hardest, as long as I am operating from a place of love, I'm not trying to be tricky, I'm not trying to be deceitful, then no matter what happens, I can be happy and fulfilled knowing that I gave it my all and I did my best. If I was instead trying to lie and trick people and everything was coming down on my head, I'd feel like it's my fault. It's like, as long as I know I'm doing my best, fighting as hard as I can, you know, sometimes you lose, sometimes it doesn't work out, but it's the only way to give yourself the best possible option and hopefully inspire other people around you. I'm not hopeless at all. I'm not black-pilled at all. I see this going any number of ways, some not so good, some better than not. The fact that we recognize where we're at and the sentiment that's being expressed right now on a very wide scale is so radically different than anything we've experienced before. That alone gives me hope. And just remember, at the end of the day, it's all about seizing the initiative and making them respond to you. And that's been the major sea change that's occurred with Trump, is that for the first time in our lives, they're not getting everything they want. They're not the ones absolutely dominating everything in terms of the globalists manipulating America. They're having to respond to us a lot of times. And that in and of itself is key to reorganizing things into the future. So again, I know third parties are just are a pipe dream in America, but it's got to be something like that, right? It's got to be something like that, because the option of taking over the Republican Party and using it for good has sort of been proven at this point to not have worked. And in a way, I kind of blame Trump for that a little bit, because he has the, and always had the social power to reorganize the Republican Party. He just didn't do it. He fell for the lies of the establishment. He thought, hey, I won, they'll come along with me. They see how popular this is for their own benefit. They'll come along. And so he endorses rhinos and swamp creatures when really he could have used his incredible popularity with the base to absolutely shatter like long held incumbencies. You know, he could have been the guy to go, hey, Lindsey Graham, I'm against him. Trump says no. Trump says vote against Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham would have been out whenever he, you know, was elected, 2018, 2016, whatever. Trump had the power to totally remake the Republican Party, and he just didn't do it. He didn't do it. And he hasn't provided, you know, a pathway for what we do after he's gone. And he's gone. He is gone. For all intents and purposes, Trump is not only not a future candidate, if it goes to if the midterms go to the Democrats, which it looks like it is, that's the end of his presidency. So it's not even a matter. It's not even how you feel about Trump. It's just a fact of reality. The Trump age is over, and it's time to be looking into what's next. And Trump has not done anything to provide for that next generation. Certainly not now that he has saddled Marco Rubio or J.D. Vance with this war in Iran. That's basically cut them off the knees. So we do need something new. I don't know exactly what that is, but the opportunity is right now, and the time to strike is at this moment. So thank you for the call, Josh. Sorry about having to move away from your home state there. That sucks, but just don't be black-pilled. I don't know. I went through my black-pilling phase in like the early 2000s. So, you know, you got to get over it at a certain point and just recognize that like this is all just a thrilling combat that we're involved in. In all likelihood, most of us don't have the ability to unilaterally and as an individual change the course of human history. But you don't know that until you try. And so you might as well give it a try. And at the end of the day, you start from nothing and go back to nothing. So what have you got to lose? Nothing. That's what. Thanks so much for the call, Josh. Let's go to Timothy in Nebraska. Go ahead, Timothy. You're on the air.
Hello, Harrison. Do you hear me all right?
I hear you loud and clear, sir. Thanks for calling in.
That's awesome. There's a movie that the actor who played Jason Bourne, it doesn't matter to me his name. He was in a movie where he was a janitor. He looked at a chalkboard. And,
Goodwill and Hunting with Matt Damon, yes.
Damn straight. Thank you. Well, he solved it just by doing a little scribble here, a little scribble there, and then everyone was at like a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
That's the equation. I said that so I can say this. We have a lot of factions in this world, and they all hate Christians. They seem to not like each other, like Jews and Muslims. They seem like they don't like each other, but they hate Christians.
True.
There are a few things about Zionism that seem Christian, but they're not. Like if you put a little piece of rat poop in a glass of water, it's not a glass of water. It's a glass of water with rat poop in it.
True.
That's Zionism. So the equation is nothing makes sense because a piece of the equation is gone. There's an integer that has just been erased.
Right.
Or duct tape over it. You pull the duct tape off of it, and that integer is kill all Christians.
Huh.
Then everything will make sense. The whole thing. Glyphosate in our water, fluoride in our water, glyphosate on our food, that can be easily solved by just doing what the Amish do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the simplest thing is to do what the Amish do, but Monsanto, Bayer, Big Ag working together, they act like they don't like each other much, but, yeah, they work together to poison our food and make us stupid, sick, and weak.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I'll just say this: they hate Christianity because Christianity is Europe used to be called Christendom, right? Christianity is the operating system of Europe. It is basically the white religion, but Christianity in and of itself, and combined with sort of the historical disposition of Europeans, makes people hard to control. With Christianity, it can make people impossible to control if you're trying to control them for evil, right? Because it tells you there's something higher, there's a authority that you really need to be responsible to, not the earthly authority. So, you know, this is the classic, you know, your Christian martyrs, right? Would rather die than, you know, worship the pagan god under the Romans or the emperor in Japan. This is what makes Christianity dangerous to people who want control. So at the end of the day, the thing I'm trying to point out is, yes, Christianity is spiritually opposed to what these people believe and is, hated for that reason in and of itself. But really, it all goes down to control. And if they can control you through Christianity, then they love it. That's why you have the promotion of evangelical Christianity in America today, because it's useful to control people. You can use them as a voting block to get what you want, to get the war in Iran or whatever else you want. Christianity, obviously, I believe in Christianity. I think it's the right religion and the true religion. But you can't overlook the way that the bad guys will incorporate, like take over that religion, pretend to be promoting it when really promoting the opposite. And they'll do the same with Judaism or with Islam. So, you know, it's Christianity is right and good, but it can also be perverted and corrupted as well. So we have to, you know, be on guard for that. But I do appreciate exactly what you're saying in terms of everything's so messy. You know, there's got to be something missing here. Hatred of Christianity and the destruction of white people, the destruction of the populations of people who both have the will, the character, and the ability, the intelligence and creativity to oppose and actually bring down the power structure. That's what the people in power is, you know, real concern is. And I could go on about that just really quick because I've been thinking about this for days and days and I haven't found a good time to talk about it, but it just fits exactly what he's saying. There's a fascinating thing in history where if you don't already know the inclusion of a certain sect or a certain idea in history, you can actually read history and it all makes total sense. Like the history of Texas, if you read the history of Texas, you can read textbooks and articles and study the history of Texas for a long, long time. And you can think you have a totally full picture. And then as I'm studying Texas history, I'm seeing occasionally mentions of, where did they meet? They met in the Masonic Lodge. And it's like, okay, yeah, a lot of them were Masons. That's true. And then I'm like, well, how much was Masonry like actually involved? Like the idea of Masonry, how much did it have to do with the Texas Revolution? So then you search like Masonry, Texas Revolution, and it's like, oh, the whole thing was about Masonry. Actually, it was this big conflict between Masons and Catholics, and Santa Anna, part of his taking control and power in Mexico was because he wanted to crush the power of the Mexican Freemasons who were in. So what I'm saying is that you can look at history and think you have a full picture, but then if somebody introduces this other angle, it's like, oh, this was actually at the center of all of it the whole time, but you would never know because it's hidden, because it's secret, because it's not, made the main topic of conversation. It can be hidden. Everything in history is like that. You can read about World War II or World War I or the Civil War and think you have a full picture, and then you can get one little insight and go, well, what if it was about that? What if it's all about destroying Christianity? And it's like, oh, that's what it's all about. Oh, actually, it's entirely about that, even though it's totally absent of the historical record, unless you actively go out and look for it. That reminds me of what you're talking about, where you can see this equation and go, I think something's missing. And it's this big glaring central node of the whole thing. Thank you for the call, Timothy. Let's go to Drew in California now. Drew, you are on the air from the great state of California. Go ahead.
All right. I just had a good idea. You guys are making a whole bunch of awesome T-shirts. Just wanted to throw this out first. Eagles, like the bird.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles, not ill eagles.
Eagles, not ill eagles. It's good. I like it. That's a good pun. That'd look good on a shirt.
And then just plug in, same thing, methylene blue. I whacked my head and had a seizure. I whacked my head so bad just the other 2 months ago. Still recovering, but that methylene blue and that iodine works very well. I plugged before, and you guys did a commercial on me for the iodine. But anyway, that's very good. The Iran war, I'm very 50-50. There's a lot of good points put both ways. If we didn't go in there, or if we did go in there. And my family's debating about all this stuff, too. But at least we still eat dinner and everything together.
Absolutely.
And we don't have a problem. And that's the difference. And the other side of our family, should I say, can't talk to them about nothing.
Wow, so, that's a bummer.
And then I just want to end by just saying thank Jesus that we have him, and to forgive us for all of our sins and everything. We sin every day, even though we don't know it, or when you go to sleep and everything, you just gotta open that Bible every day, man.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for that.
I just want to say happy Easter, and thank you, InfoWars and everybody. I appreciate you guys very much.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sorry to hear about your injury. I hope you're recovering well, and I'm glad that some products can help you do that. A lot of Methylene Blue fans calling in today. Love to see it. Thank you so much for the call, Drew, and just couldn't agree more with everything that you say. And I don't know. It's more important that you have family than your family agrees with you on politics. That's my stance. So, don't be the one to break your family up over politics. Yeah, let the leftists do that. Every family should be able to talk about this stuff or not. It's fine. We always say like you need to be talking about this with everybody, but like you got to do it in the right way. You got to do it in the right way, and you got to do it in a way that maintains the familial closeness first and foremost. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Josh in Iowa. Go ahead, Josh. You're on the air. Hello, Josh. Josh in Iowa wants to ask me about my opinion of leaving the Trump movement, I see. You're on the air, Josh. Going once, going twice. Okay, let's go to Nathaniel. Nathan in Seattle. Go ahead, Nathan. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Harrison, man? I love your product, dude. The methylene blue is huge in my life. I appreciate you guys so much. I wanted to talk about, like, are we in a Bukele situation?
I wish.
You know what I mean? Where, I mean, I think the table needs to get dumped. I think that the government is so lobbied that it's really beyond reflection at this point.
And you know what? That might be the most disappointing thing about Trump, because the whole thing about Trump was that he didn't need the lobbyist money. He ran in 2016 saying, I don't need the lobbyist money. We got him elected. Once you're president, you know, you're president, you have the power. Why has he become a slave to his donors? He never needed them. Once he got elected in 2016, like, he never needed another donor. The American people would have dished out whatever he needed, and he didn't even need that because he was so popular and beloved. So it's like, that's one of the things that makes the least amount of sense, is that now he's been captured by the donors when he never needed them. And the other frustrating, I mean, El Salvador is a completely different animal, obviously tiny country that could get away with this and not draw a ton of international attention while it was getting done. But Bukele showed the blueprint. It is possible to actually rescue a country, utterly and irrecognizably transform it from being the most murderous hell world crime capital of the world to like a beautiful flourishing tourist hotspot in like less than 10 years because a powerful executive destroyed the judiciary corruption. That's what happened. And again, that's the disappointing thing about Trump, is it's like, oh, what do we need to do? Well, we need a Bukele-like figure. We thought that was Trump. And if he had the Bukele-like game plan and will to enforce what America needed, then we, like El Salvador, would be experiencing a renaissance right now. So again, it's just sort of another layer of frustration, seeing how it can be done, seeing it be done just south of us. And yet it's not been. Sorry for interrupting, but I just got excited because I think you're exactly right. Final thoughts, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, you know, the insolvency, I think, is engineered. I mean, this insolvency, it's like, you know, we were $10.6 trillion in debt with Obama. And that wasn't really that long ago, and we can all remember it. Yeah. Now we're 31.1, and we've got, you know, corruption up the wazoo. And just think about if we just consolidated and brought everything back to America and gave it back to the people.
We would be more rich than you can even imagine. We would be living in a paradise. I mean, look at what China's able to do. They're not nearly as prosperous, as wealthy, or as good as America, but our goodness has been turned against us, and we have been destroyed from the inside out, for now.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to thealexjonesstore.com and picking up a bottle of zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.